This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When you walk through the corridors of a hospital or a clinic, you don't think twice about seeing African-American women who are physicians. But that idea was once unthinkable. That is, until Rebecca Davis Lee Crumpler took on the medical establishment and won. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor Dr. Howard Markell is here now to tell us about the nation's first African-American woman physician. And this is the 121st anniversary of the death of this very remarkable woman.
Yes.
But we don't know a lot about her.
No, and she didn't leave a lot behind. Her name is Rebecca Davis, and she grew up in Pennsylvania. An aunt reared her, and her aunt was a nurse of sorts who took care of other African-American neighbors. You know, the care, the medical care for African-Americans pre-Civil War and even post-Civil War was not all that great. And so Rebecca learned from her aunt, and she also got admitted to an exclusive private school in Newton, Massachusetts as a special student. So she was well educated, which also made her quite different from her peers. And she moved to Charleston, Massachusetts in about 1852 and took up nursing, but she wanted more. And so in 1860, she applied to the New England Female Medical College.
So there was such a thing,
yeah,
even pre-Civil War.
Yeah, just for women.
Just then.
Just for women.
And I'm sure it wasn't well received by the medical establishment.
Well, on many levels, the people who founded this female medical college were two men, and their male colleagues derided it. They said, you know, women are not strong enough to take on the rigors of medicine. And a lot of the topics are not meant for their sensitive ears. You know, we said that even here at the University of Michigan in 1870 when we began accepting women students to the medical school.
Boy, oh boy. So how did things fare for her? Was she able to practice medicine once she graduated?
She was. She married a man named Lee in 1852, but he died while she was in medical school. And then she married another man named Crumpler in 1864 upon her graduation. Both of them moved to Virginia after the war, after the Civil War ended in 1865, because don't forget, this is when the Freedmen's Bureau started.
True.
Yeah, this is the federal agency that was going to help, you know, millions of slaves transition from bondage to freedom.
So certainly medical care would have been a part of that.
And medical care was part of that. And she wanted to go because that was where she was most needed. That is where she could take care of the patients most in need and, in fact, help her people transition from this just stunning situation from point A to B is not such a quick line.
Virtually overnight.
Yes. Yes.
But it strikes me that being an African-American woman in Virginia was probably not an easy path to walk for her.
It was not easy. She was derided by her colleagues. A pharmacist would not fill her prescriptions. And some said, oh, well, Rebecca's MD stands for mule driver. So she had to put up with a lot of guff, a lot of prejudice, a lot of angst every day, and she paid it no mind. She focused on the job at hand and took care of her patients.
And then what? After that immediate post-war, she kind of had a life of medicine to
Yeah,
around
1869, after the Crumplers finished their work there, they moved back to Boston. They settled in Beacon Hill, which we think of as really a posh place,
but
parts of it were an African-American neighborhood. And there they both practiced for a while until 1880 when they moved, of all places, to Hyde Park, New York.
Did they?
And she probably stopped practicing. We don't have a lot of materials about her life at this point. But she did write a wonderful book called A Book of Medical Discourses in Two Parts. It was published in 1883. And it's probably, as I say, I always hate to say the first, but it's probably the first medical text written by an African American.
And do I understand that she didn't even necessarily realize that she was the first African-American woman physician?
No. And you think about it. I mean, there were, you know, even in 1865, there's maybe out of many tens of thousands of physicians, there's maybe 100 or 200 women physicians, and none of them were black until she graduated. Another woman got that credit. She graduated in 1867, and her name was Dr. Rebecca Cole. By the way, the statistics are quite stunning. In 1860, there were only 300 women out of 54,543 physicians.
Boy.
in the United States, and none of them were African American. But this other woman, Rebecca Cole, got the credit, even though she graduated a few years later, from the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania, which was in Philadelphia for many years, an all-women's medical school. So our Rebecca probably did not know of that status. Mm. It wasn't until the last 20 or 30 years that historians started delving into the story and giving her her due credit.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why she's so poorly acknowledged when she was such a groundbreaker, even that it took this long to kind of get a sense of who that first person was, because she truly was a game changer.
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting comment on how history is recorded, particularly up to, you know, the last couple of decades. The history of African Americans was not emphasized in the history books 30 or 40 years ago, and the study was not emphasized. And as more and more specialists started to delve into these topics about a great many people who were not recorded, we've learned so much more, and we have realized that our history is far more diverse, far richer than we ever thought.
When you walk the halls of any hospital, it certainly is clear a lot has changed in the 120 years since the death of Rebecca Davis Lee Crumpler, the very first African-American woman physician in the nation.
And thank goodness for that.
Indeed. Dr. Howard Markel, University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor, thank you so much.
Thank you.